Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in to the SFLC podcast. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Dependable Solutions, innovating the future of your small to medium-sized business since 2012. Learn how you can save 40 to 60% on your overall credit card processing bill by going to dependable-solutions.net. Again, that's dependable-solutions.net. Also, teststrips.com. That's teststrips with a Z.com. Managing diabetes is your business. Making it affordable is theirs. Sell your extra unused diabetes supplies for up to $50 per box and support a worthy cause. Rated a Better Business Bureau accredited A+ rating for over 5 years. Partnered with 98.5 The Sports Hub and affiliated with the American Diabetes Association. Make sure to check them out again. That is teststrips with a Z.com. Finally, we'd like to thank the UFC South Austin Gym, located at 9900 South Interstate 35 in Austin, Texas. Learn how you can get 3 free classes when you sign up and mention the SFLC podcast. Be sure to call them at 512-292-1900.
SFLC podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the SFLC podcast. It is South by Southwest here in Austin, Texas, so I had to take last week off, I think, as everybody kind of understands, but, you know, we're back in the swing of things, and we got a lot of good material coming up for you this week. We will have Angelo Reyes coming on a little later on to break down that upcoming fight this weekend between Mikey Garcia and Errol Spence in Dallas, Texas this weekend. We'll also have one of our regulars, Blake Money, Blake Weather Stevenson, coming on and have a little bit of a background with our current guest and Blake Stevenson. So we'll go right into it. We have a fighter coming up for Bellator 219. You know him, he ended up having his Bellator debut against Aaron Pico, a tough fight on 3 weeks' notice. Big shout out and thanks to Shane Crutchin for joining us today. Shane, how are everything going over there for you?
It's going well, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I always enjoy it. Now, you know, I was alluding to the fact that you did a show actually about 2 years ago with Blake Stevenson, and of course, Blake and I are in Austin right now, and actually, when I get off with you, I'll be recording with Blake, I'll be going to the UFC gym with Blake, so, you know, 2 years ago, I know it was a little bit ago for you, but you kind of talked a little bit about your intro into that division and into Bellator. How was everything when you ended up getting into Bellator and seeing, you know, you took on that Aaron Pico in a very tough fight?
Yeah, you know, I was with World Series of Fighting and came off a huge win at Madison Square Garden and transitioned into PFL, went on a tour with them over to the West Coast, kind of, or East Coast, sorry, selling PFL and went on a tour for the troops. And next thing you know, just I talked to my manager, things weren't going well, the negotiations and talks with PFL, and you know, they and I are actually good friends, Ray Seppo. And I texted him and I said, hey, can I get my release? And he said, yeah, man, go get it. And 30 minutes later, I was signed by Bellator.
Wow, that's a very quick turnaround.
My manager, you know, I owe everything to him. You know, he had everything lined up. But, you know, it's already, you know, I pride myself on being the guy that fights people are scared of. So.
No, I understand. But, you know, we kind of go into it, and you had said how you took a fight on 3 weeks' notice with Aaron Pico for your Bellator debut. Obviously, it didn't go the way that you wanted it, but you took on one of the toughest opponents in that division with very short notice. So what did you kind of take away from that fight outside of the actual win-loss category?
You know, correct. Yeah, you know, and I've been around the sport for years now. You know, at the end of the day, you know, even one of my roommates, you know, he had the same thing with the UFC. So if you look at that, you know, you can't always get, there's once you get to a certain level, there's no hand-picked fights, right? You know, so when I got the opportunity and they said Aaron Pico, and I was like, cool. You know, it is what it is. At the end of the day, it's a bowl versus bowl, and you're going to fight. It's somebody you're going to drop. Unfortunately, I went into the fight, and I'm not making excuses. Hats off to Aaron Pico. I went in injured, but I didn't make excuses. I didn't care. And, you know, I thought I still had a good game plan, and unfortunately, I got four broken ribs out of it, and KO, body shot KO'd.
Wow.
It is what it is, but at the end of the day, I realized, being where I was and training where I was needed to change up. I needed to change my mindset, get back to the original, my original mindset of like Madison Square Garden days, and I needed to change who I surrounded myself with and become a better man. I actually went into a pretty deep depression after that loss. It took a lot of me, and luckily I had a girl that, you know, it caused a lot of relationship issues, canceled marriage and all this stuff. But it made me a better man. It actually, we got together. I'm in a better place. I'm training with, just people that are like-minded now. I'm training out in Arizona and doing this camp. So it's just so many good things are coming from that loss. It's really crazy. So, everybody always goes, oh, man, you lost. I'm like, yeah, I did. But guess what? I gained tenfold on the back end.
Wow. But still, I mean, that's a lot to look at. I mean, I was unaware of, everything that had happened with your relationship status and all that. I mean, is everything good after that? We're kind of finding that silver lining?
You know, it is. And, silver lining is in everything in life. And I'm a person who's not a winks in a lot of Tony Robbins, So you can't, every action has a reaction, obviously. But you can't just focus on the negative. If you just focus on just your win and not your losses, then you're going to fail in life, right? So you have to take your losses and dig into it, just like you have to dig into a win and figure out how you won. So I dug into it, and I started, starting probably last May, and I started digging into it, and I've become a better human, become a better man, person, father. I mean, just so much. So, yeah, I would say it helped me become a better person in life.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And then, obviously you have this whole career and life prior to mixed martial arts. And, I was reading the interview that you had done with Tony Reed on My MMA News from a year ago, being a Purple Heart recipient and everything that you did, having the 19 servicemen that are tattooed on your back. What kind of an experience does that give you, having the background in the armed services and what it means to you to step into the ring to be so much more than just a fight?
Yeah, and that's what I'm asked a lot, when I served this country, I would do it again in a heartbeat. If I was able to get the call, I would leave tomorrow. I can't, unfortunately. So, I have a new fight in life. I have a new direction, and I had to re-divert some things in my brain. But at the same time, I still get back to veterans. I do it all the time. So, you mentioned and you alluded to being a Purple Heart recipient. I think being a Purple Heart recipient is another chapter of my story, right? Your story is written over and over and over, and you always get these new chapters in life. So when I'm looking at it and I'm thinking about it, it's like, hey, I was reborn on April 29, 2003 when I got hit in Iraq. And, I could have laid there and sobbed my wounds and cried about it and, just been weak about it, or pick up your big boy pants and march forward. And that's what I decided to do. And I decided, like you had also mentioned, get the tattoo of 19 service members down my back that I served with and the date they were killed in action. My six in life. I always had their six. And at the end of the day, I carry them in and allow their families to live vicariously through me while I fight on these huge fights. I fight on TV. And many of their family members are in constant contact with me. So it's almost a way that their sons are living on. So it's an honor, at the end of the day.
That's great to hear. Talking a little bit about your training and being in the armed services and being a Marine, you hear a lot of people talk, and I've had the privilege to talk to a lot of people who do have an armed services background. And one thing that I've heard from the vast majority of them that I was hoping you could shed some light on was they sit there and they say, I've done all this training in MMA, you know, it could be jiu-jitsu or judo or whatever. And then they go into training in the armed services and they say, that MMA stuff that we learn, that really does nothing for us as far as what we learn in the Marines or in the Army. Do you agree with that, or do you think that there's some carryover for both?
I actually had this conversation yesterday with a friend. So I'm a first-degree black belt in Marine Corps martial arts. And, you know, are there aspects of MCMAP that transfer over? Yeah, there's some, you know, but not very many. But are there aspects of judo and wrestling and MMA that can transfer over? Both of them can carry over discipline, guidance, self-awareness, self-attentiveness. You can really, and the physical attributes. So when you see, like, I go to the gym and I go with my roommate over to EOS Fitness and we go to run at night or something, there's these poolies that guys that are trying to become Marines in there, and it just irks me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what's going into the military? You know? I want to drop everything and go help them because they don't know what they're doing. They're trying, you know? But unfortunately, a lot of these guys don't get prepped the right way. So, like, getting into wrestling helped me big time when I was a kid. Being active in football and wrestling and all these other sports, it helped me because I like fitness. I like to work out. So, I think there's aspects of both that transfer both ways.
Well, I was going to say, outside of some of the obvious rules of mixed martial arts, you know, no small joint manipulation, etc., are there aspects of your background in the armed services that are legal that you can take in to the cage?
Oh, yeah. You know, well, I think the biggest thing the biggest thing I take to the cage every day is my ability to face adversity with, you know, triumph over it. So, I mean, that's one of my biggest things, man. The Marines always taught you, no better friend, no worse enemy than a U.S. Marine. I mean, that's no joke. And that mindset of knowing you're the baddest mother that ever walked the face of the earth, that I know that. So, yeah, I mean, and I had that stapled in my head from the military. So, I mean, yeah, that's...
All right. Well, we kind of look at your upcoming fight, and you have Daniel Strauss, very tough, also seasoned with Bellator, with mixed martial arts. Are you the kind of fighter that goes in, you watch a lot of game film on him, you kind of prep for that, or are you the kind of person that focuses on yourself, has your coaches kind of looking at the game plan? What is your take on that?
100%. I'm the fighter that I focus on myself, what I need to do to get ready, and what I need to do to stay healthy. I've been around the sport for over, it's coming up on 14 years. Daniel Strauss, the same amount of time, just about. You know, we're seasoned veterans, and, you know, it's going to be a good fight. But, you know, at the end of the day, I trust my coaches. My coaches tell me, hey, this is what needs to be done. Okay, dokie, here we go. You know, so I know that I need to, you know, polish up certain aspects of my game, and I do that. No pieces of my game, you know, well greased. So I'm not one that, you know, there's some guys, and it's really funny, they just watch tape after tape after tape, and I'm like, you guys, you're going to get in your own head. You know, I watch a little bit of tape, you know, just to get a brief thing, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's not going to work me like the guys in the gym do every day.
That's an interesting way of looking at it. So when you look at this, your game plan, without, of course, giving away too much, against a seasoned vet like Daniel Strauss, what are you expecting to see from him when you step into that cage?
Well, I mean, hats off to Daniel Strauss, first and foremost. I mean, he's coming back after a horrific and life-changing incident on that motorcycle when he was struck and, you know, basically left for dead, right? So to know that he's coming back, that's huge. And to be the one to get the phone call, I mean, it's an honor. You know, I'm fighting a legend, and I'm fighting, you know, but at the end, you know, I'm here, and I'm more than happy to welcome him back in the cage, but at the same time, I'm going to send him back out of the cage into retirement. It's plain and simple. That's the end of the day. And I'm going to show him he's never fought a guy my height. He's never fought a guy with my range. He's never fought a guy that moves as funky as I do. So, I mean, it's going to be a really good match. I mean, I know he throws a left hand, and I know he's good at friggin' takedowns. He's already fought a couple of my teammates, and, you know, he's about to fight another one. So that's it.
Do you have any predictions for this fight before you walk into that cage?
I'm not wanting to do that stuff. All I know is get my hand raised, and that's it.
Well, a couple more questions before I let you go. You know, we've talked a little bit about your career as a service, and again, thank you for what you've done for the country, of course. But, you know, you fight in Bellator, and Bellator has been very notable in their support for the troops. What does that say to you, being a fighter in that organization, knowing the backing that they have for the armed services?
I mean, it's huge, and I'm also part of the Emerging Veterans and Players with Jay Glazer and Nate Boyer. You know, and Adele, and I've actually been up to that program numerous times. I'm actually having them on my shorts for this fight, and kind of giving hope and inspiration to the veterans as well. You know, and through me. So to have an organization and represent an organization like Bellator, when they have so much love and respect for it, it's an honor. So UFC used to have the fight nights. Well, they kind of fluttered away, right? And all of a sudden, Bellator's like, look, like, this is real, you know? So then they kind of merged with the Emerging Veterans and Players, and the Bellator is doing a lot of things with this. Well, Bellator Hawaii, where Lima McFarland was the main event, they had a big thing for Emerging Veterans and Players, and, you know, and I was part of that video. And it's just an honor to be able to inspire these guys, and they go, wow, that's our brother, you know? And to be able to carry them with me, and these guys come up and shake my hand, I mean, it's insane. It's really cool opportunity, and it's really cool that, you know, Bellator goes above and beyond. Rich Chu and, you know, and Scott Coker, they all show so much love and respect for the military. It's an honor to represent an organization that is going to do that.
Wow. A couple more questions, like I said, you know, and I have to ask your opinion on this because it's so fresh in the MMA community. We all know what happened yesterday in Miami with Conor McGregor. He got arrested. He smashed someone's cell phone who was trying to take pictures with him. I got to get your opinion on this. What do you think of this whole incident, being a fighter, but also knowing what happened with Conor?
Who is she?
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay. You
No. You know, you're like, wait a minute, what? You know, I think, you know, as much negativity as Conor likes to throw around, you know, he did a lot for the sport in reality, right? Conor brought a lot of eyes to the sport that weren't here previously. He did a lot of good. Nothing made me happier in this world than when Diaz tapped him. And being a jiu-jitsu guy and a guy who doesn't take no shit like I do. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for Diaz. But, you know, you got a guy like Conor McGregor that, you know, he has such a platform, man. He could take this and run with it, right? But instead, he let the money go to his head. Man, he's got two children at home. He needs to be a father. He needs to be a husband. He needs to be a better businessman. The best and awesome thing about Proper 12 is they give back to veterans as well. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't.
So Proper 12, yeah, donates money from every bottle sold to veterans. And it's really cool, right? Well, he does that, and then all of a sudden it turns around and he starts this, throwing dollies at buses, hurting people that had nothing to do with his argument, right? And it's like, what do you want to portray to these kids? That it's okay to walk around and show your rear end and act like a baboon and throw things and throw a hissy fit. Man, this guy's trying to get a picture with you. And, you know, I've taken pictures with my foes, you know, relatives. They got one, like Aaron Pico's cousin, wanted a picture with me before my fight. Okay, cool, dude. And he's like, damn, my cousin's Aaron Pico. I was like, that's cool, dude. You know, and now the guy, you know, I don't care. I don't hold grudges. I'll take a picture and talk to every single person that ever stops me and shows respect to me. You know, and I'm a big name friends in this game and in the fight world. And they do the same thing. They will literally, as long as they're not with their family, and you show them respect. So the story that I read, and I don't know the whole thing, I saw Eric post about, he basically was just trying to get a selfie and got it snatched up. And it's like, why? Unless he's being disrespectful. By all means, disrespect it, take care of your business. But don't act like a jerk and smash a fan's phone, you know?
No, I agree with you. And, I mean, I didn't know that Proper 12 did that with veterans. I think that's super cool. Unfortunately, I think that Proper 12 is just a terrible-ass whiskey.
Oh, it's disgusting, absolute trash whiskey. 100% agree.
Oh, I am so happy that you're on the same page with me on that. But the
I'm all about American stuff. So Jack Daniels and Jim Beam, all day long. Other than that, screw them.
Two of the four wise men, I understand. And then, of course, the last thing that I'm going to ask you, as we kind of piggyback off of the Conor McGregor thing, this was posted a couple weeks ago. Dylan Danis, who fights in Bellator, also kind of got reprimanded for his role in what happened in the post-fight melee between Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was suspended. He was fined. We've only seen him fight once in Bellator. Do you think that the suspension was warranted for Dylan? Do you think that he kind of instigated it, and that's why he ended up getting that reprimand?
You know, I don't believe it was warranted at all, to be honest. I mean, Dylan protected himself. It matter how or who talks crap, right? Like, words are words. But when you jump the cage and you jump into the crowd trying to attack somebody, I mean, Dylan had every right to go in and defend himself, 100%. I'd do the same thing, you know? Absolutely. I don't hold that against Dylan at all. Not at all.
I mean, it's been a little while since we've seen Dylan in the ring, and honestly, having that suspension, I don't think it really hurts him or Bellator all that much, because we don't really know when we're going to see him back in the ring. Are you expecting to see him back fighting in Bellator anytime soon?
He's got a fight. Scott posted yesterday. Scott Coker posted him yesterday. Yeah, he has a fight coming up. Was it Chicago?
Oh, come on. He's going to be in Chicago. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. I think Scott Coker posted yesterday. He said, back at work, and Dylan Danis is on that card.
You know, I move away from Chicago, and then all the things start happening in Chicago. It's not fair.
Right.
Isn't that how it works, though? But anyway, you know, Shane, we really appreciate your time and, of course, everything that you've done and everything that you're doing for the veterans. Your career is just starting to really, really flourish in Bellator. But before we let you go, outside of that fight, where can we find you? Where can we follow you on social media? Any sponsors that you have that you'd like to say? You know, please take the platform and promote your stuff.
Yeah, no worries. You can find me on Instagram at WAR_RHINO, War Rhino. Social media is just Shane Crutching MMA. And then, you know, I'm at the lab training out here in Arizona with the best of the best. You know, Dan the Hitman with UFC. I got Henry Corrales. They're my roommates. You know, I'm training with the best, and Benson Henderson's running me every day. So Coach Crouch and Coach Eddie, they have a game plan that's like no other. I mean, I've never been at a place like this. So thanks to them, and it's an honor to be here. Venom is a big one. And then Emerging Veterans and Players. If you haven't heard of the program, please check them out. I think they have four locations in the country right now. And it's just a platform for veterans to hang out, average old day veterans with a pro athlete. If you're a pro athlete or a veteran, hit up these programs, donate your time, go hang out, and get a workout in.
Outstanding. And since you're at the MMA lab, of course, we've got to give a shout out to Lauren Murphy, who's a teammate of yours. You know, of course, say hello to her when you end up seeing her for us.
I will. Absolutely.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Shane Crutchin, you can catch him fighting next month against Daniel Strauss for Bellator. Always enjoy having you on. Best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.